we're reading text 7 now. Shudrayashamninamangamartyanamritamechatam
Iho pahuto bhagavan vityusamitra karmani.
O Suta Goswami, there are those amongst men who desire freedom from death and get eternal life. They escape the slaughtering process by calling the controller of death Yamaraj. So very complex to understand unless we read Prabhupada's purport. We read the translation again. O Suta Goswami, there are those amongst men who desire freedom from death and get eternal life. They escape the slaughtering process by calling the controller of death Yamaraj. Would someone like to read the purport? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I can read it if that's okay.
Yeah, please read.
The living entity, as he developed from lower animal life to higher human being and gradually to higher intelligence, becomes anxious to get free from all the clutches of death. Modern scientists try to avoid death by physiochemical advancement of knowledge, but alas, the controller of death, Yamaraja, is so cruel that he does not even spare the very life of the scientist himself. The scientist who put forward a theory of stopping death by advancement of scientific knowledge becomes himself a victim of death when he is called by Yamaraja. What to speak of stopping death? No one can enhance the short period of life even by a fraction of a moment. The only hope of suspending the cruel slaughtering process of Yamaraja is to call him to hear and chant the holy name of Lord. The only hope of suspending the cruel slaughtering process of Yamaraja is to call him to hear and chant the holy name of the Lord. Yamaraj is a great devotee of the Lord and he likes to be invited to kirtans and sacrifices by the pure devotee who are constantly engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. Thus the great sages headed by Shonaka and others invited Yamaraj to attend the sacrifice performed at Naisairanya. This was good for those who did not want to die.
So that means Yamaraj was busy over there. So then the other people would not have to go through the slaughtering process. Yeah. Anyway, we read the next verse, this will become clear. Text 8.
Na kashchin mriyate tavad yavadasta ihantaka etadartham hi bhagavan ahuta paramashibhi aho niloke piyeta hari lilamritam vachaha.
Translation. As long as Yamaraj, who causes everyone's death, is present here, no one shall meet with death. The great sages have invited the controller of death, Yamaraj, who is the representative of the Lord. Living beings who are under his grip should take advantage by hearing the deathless nectar in the form of this narration of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Purport: every human being dislikes meeting death, but he does not know how to get rid of death. The surest remedy for avoiding death is to accustom oneself to hearing the nectarian pastimes of the Lord as they are systematically narrated in the text of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is advised herein, therefore, that any human being who desires freedom from death should take to this course of life as recommended by the rishis headed by Shonaka. Now, does this mean that you will never die if you keep hearing the pastimes of the Lord? What does this mean? That if we keep hearing about the pastimes of the Lord and the glories of the Lord and we keep reading the way we are all hearing and reading together and we keep taking advantage of all the pravachans that happen in the temple and all the pravachans that are available online, then by constantly hearing about the pastimes of the Lord, then we are out of this, we become out of the cycle of the birth, disease, old age and death. We don't take birth again. So that means we are delivered from death. So after we leave this body, we don't have to come back and take birth again. And we don't have to deal with all these different problems that are there in the material world, as I already described in the beginning of this call. So any human being who is intelligent, that is actually what these two verses are telling, must hear the pastimes of the Lord, must read Srimad Bhagavatam, read Bhagavad Gita, offer service to the Lord in the temple, associate with the devotees of the Lord, just like we all are doing. And the more we do that and accustom ourselves with this, the more we will realize I am not this body, I am spirit soul. And I am part and parcel of Krishna, loving servant of Krishna. More we will serve Krishna and more we will come out of the cycle of birth, disease, old age and death. So something for us to all of us to think about. How much of my time am I spending in hearing about or doing all of these processes of bhakti versus how much time I am doing other things? Of course, I am doing my duties and I do my duties and they are very pleasing to Krishna. That is part of my bhakti. But I do it with the essence of pleasing Krishna. The way I raise my children, I understand these souls have been given to me. And it is my job as a mother to help these souls complete their journey in this lifetime itself. That I give them proper spiritual knowledge and direction and take care of their physical and emotional needs. So that they can also come out of the clutches of birth, disease, old age and death in this lifetime itself. They also become devotees of the Lord. But the way I serve my husband, I serve very nicely. Because that is pleasing to Krishna. So everything we do, thinking about how it is going to please Krishna. So then, whatever situation we are in, we will not be thinking this is a good situation or a bad situation. Because in every situation we will think about how can I please Krishna in this situation. And then Krishna reciprocates also. You will feel Krishna is not some ball. Krishna is a person. And you will feel Krishna's reciprocation. Text 9. Mandasya manda pragnasya vayo manda yushascha vai nidraya hriyate naktam divacha vyartha karma bhi. Text 9. Now see, Bhagavatam just cuts through our illusion. So translation, lazy human beings with paltry intelligence and a short duration of life pass the night sleeping and the day performing activities that are for not. Not means that are for nothing, useless. And the more we go deeper in the Bhagavatam, very soon we'll start the second canto. We will see how heavy Srimad Bhagavatam is on those people who do not use their human form of life properly. Very, very heavy. And the more we read Bhagavatam, more we will feel like wanting to go deeper in our Krishna consciousness. So we read this purport. Prabhupada has explained very nicely. Would Malvika like to read the purport again?
Sure. The less intelligent do not know the real value of human form of life. The human form is a special gift of material nature in the course of her enforcing stringent laws of miseries upon the living being. It is a chance to achieve the highest boon of life, namely to get out of the entanglement of repeated birth and death. The intelligent take care of this important gift by strenuously endeavoring to get out of the entanglement. But the less intelligent are lazy and unable to evaluate the gift of human body to achieve liberation from the material bondage. They become more interested in so-called economic development and work very hard throughout life simply for the enjoyment of the temporary body. Death enjoyment is also to the lower animals. Our self-enjoyment is also allowed to the lower animals by the laws of nature. And thus, a human being is also destined to a certain amount of self-enjoyment according to his past or present life. But one should definitely try to understand that self-enjoyment is not the ultimate goal of human life. Herein, it is said that during the daytime one works for nothing, because the aim is nothing but self-enjoyment. We can particularly observe how the human being is engaged for nothing in the great cities and industrial towns. There are so many things manufactured by human energy, but they all are meant for sense enjoyment and not for getting out of material bondage. And after working hard during the daytime, a tired man either sleeps or engages in habits at night. My daughter is also listening. This is the program of materialistic civilized life for the less intelligent. Therefore, they are designated herein as lazy, unfortunate, and short-lived.
See, this is a sadhu, this is Srila Prabhupada, who cares for our well-being, and that's why he is, you know, cutting through our illusion by writing such explanations to the verses. And whatever Prabhupada has written in this purport is exactly derived from the verses of the second canto. When we will read there, I'll explain to you. It's in the second and third chapters, I think. And, you know, all the enjoyments that we're looking for, say, unrestricted enjoyment, you know, between man and woman, or unrestricted food, unrestricted, you know, no duties, no nothing. All that is anyway available in the animal form of life. Then why did we get this human form of life? So in this human form of life, what differs us from the animals is that we can question what is the purpose of our life. If there are few cats sitting together, like the condo we bought had, now that we are living in, had seven cats. The previous owner had seven cats. And they only made a big mess in the house. I don't think the cats ever sat down together discussing, you know, what is the purpose of my life. They are not given that level of intelligence in that particular body. It is only in the human form of life we can think about what is the purpose of my life. Only in this form of life we can understand who I am. I am spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, and my duty is to serve Him. So this human form of life, we don't want to use it in a deluxe edition of eating, sleeping, mating and defending. See, all animals also eat, but we eat with the best dinnerware and, you know, cooked food and, you know, foods from all over the world. But fact is, we are eating, they are eating, but we are eating in a deluxe way, in a royal way. They also sleep, but we sleep in a $5,000 mattress, or, you know, heated mattress, and I don't know what are the different types of things available with controlled heating and this type of bedroom and this and that. But we are also just sleeping. They are sleeping, we are sleeping. They also mate, we also mate. There is a $1 billion industry on mating, and you all know about, you know, what I'm talking about. And then defending, they are fearful, they protect themselves with their claws and teeth, and we, when we are fearful, we protect ourselves with bombs and drones and guns, right? So why should our intelligence be used in just making a better edition of animal life? It's the same eating, sleeping, mating and defending only we are doing, but in a deluxe way. And all these industries and all these different things that are coming around are all there just to increase the standard of eating, sleeping, mating and defending. No, we don't want to end up like an animal. Neither do we want our children to end up in a deluxe edition of an animal life. Okay? It's like, I live like an animal, beta, you live like a more royal animal. You know, we don't want to do that. We want to give our children Krishna consciousness. We want to ourselves become Krishna conscious. So we don't want to waste our energy in this. We do those things as much as required to keep our body and soul together. And everyone's requirement will be different based on, you know, their natures. But gradually as we take up to the process of Krishna consciousness, automatically those needs will fall out. So right now, we don't want to focus on, oh, I have to reduce my needs. No, continue where you are, but add Krishna in your life. Chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Associate with devotees. Read Srimad Bhagavatam together the way we are doing, like that. And gradually, automatically, our forgotten consciousness of Krishna will be revived, and automatically our attraction for Krishna will be so high, and we'll get such a higher taste that we will leave the taste of the lower things. So right now, continue your life the way it is, but add Krishna to your life. Gradually, we'll read this verse, and then we will keep some time for discussion to people to share their thoughts. Text 10. So now the sages have asked Suta Goswami. Suta Goswami said, yeah, one time Parikshit Maharaj saw Shudra dressed as a king and he was hurting the leg of a cow, and then he punished him. So the sages asked, why is he doing that? You know, he should have punished him more severely, should have killed him. And then they say, we want to hear about all this only if it is related to Lord Krishna. See, sometimes we hear some scandalous thing, then we want to hear more out of curiosity. The sages are very clear. We will want to hear about this only if it is related to Krishna, and we don't want to waste our time in other things. Lazy people waste their time in other things. So here now, Suta Goswami starts explaining. Suta Vacha Yada Parikshit Kurujangale Vasat Kalim Pravishtam Nija Chakravartite Nishamya Varta Manati Priyam Tata Sharasanam Samyuga Shandiradade. Suta Goswami said, while Maharaj Parikshit was residing in the capital of the Kuru Empire, the symptoms of the age of Kali began to infiltrate within the jurisdiction of his state. When he learned about this, he did not think the matter very palatable. This did, however, give him a chance to fight. he took up his bow and arrows and prepared him for military activities. So because he was the king, it was the king's job was not just to, you know, economic development of the of his kingdom. That's not the only goal. The main goal of the king is to create a proper palatable and a good atmosphere and environment of economics of the, you know, the physical environment and the rules and regulations and the laws and the taxes and everything, so that it facilitates the people of the kingdom to cultivate their lost God consciousness. So that's why when Parikshit Maharaj is seeing that the symptoms of the age of Kali are becoming manifest, then he, being the king and understanding that it is his duty to protect the kingdom from such elements, he goes out and prepares himself for material activities. So we will read, or maybe we can quickly read the purport. Can Malvika read the purport again, please?
Sure. The state administration of Maharaja Parikshit was so perfect that he was sitting in his capital peacefully, but he got the news that the symptoms of the age of Kali had already infiltrated into the jurisdiction of the state, and he did not like this news. What are the symptoms of the age of Kali? They are illicit connection with women, indulgence in meat eating, intoxication, and fourthly, taking pleasure in gambling. The age of Kali literally means the age of quarrel, as the above mentioned four symptoms in human society are the root causes for all kinds of quarrel. Maharaja Parikshit heard that some of the people of his state had already taken to those symptoms, and he wanted to take immediate steps against such causes of unrest. This means that at least up to the regime of Maharaja Parikshit, such symptoms of public life were practically unknown. And as soon as they were slightly detected, he wanted to root them out. The news was not palatable for him, but in a way it was, because Maharaja Parikshit got a chance to fight. There was no need to fight with small states because everybody was peacefully under his subordination. But the Kali Yuga miscreant gave his fighting spirit a chance for exhibition. A perfect Kshatriya king is always jubilant as soon as he gets a chance to fight, just as a sportsman is eager when there is a chance for a sporting man. It is no argument that in the age of Kali such symptoms are predestined. If so, then why was there preparation for fighting out such symptoms? Such arguments are offered by lazy and unfortunate men. In the rainy season, rain is predestined, and yet people take precautions to protect themselves. Similarly, in the age of Kali, the symptoms as above mentioned are sure brings the state into social life. But it is the duty of the state to save the citizens from the association of the agents of the age of Kali. Maharaja Parikshit wanted to punish the miscreants indulging in the symptoms of Kali and thus save the innocent citizens who were pure, inhabit by culture of religion. It is the duty of the king to give such protection, and Maharaja Parikshit was perfectly right when he prepared himself to fight.
Thank you so much, Malvika. So here Prabhupada has explained, and now if you think about it, right now whatever rules and policies are passed are only passed so that the state or the politicians or the people in power can get more votes. So now if there are things about, you know, alcohol, cow slaughter, all of those things they allow because they get more votes with that. You know, the vote bank politics that we see. But that is not the duty of the government. The duty of the government is to protect the innocent citizens. And how many such kings do that? But Maharaj Parikshit was a Raja Rishi. So he was a king who was like a saint, who was like a Muni, like a Sadhu, such a great devotee of the Lord. So he ruled on behalf of the Lord. So we'll end here for today. I think the summary is about how we don't want to waste our time in hearing about topics or engaging in activities that are not in Krishna consciousness. Now, all of us are not at that level where we can completely shun what we are doing. So what we are going to do is gradually add Krishna in our life by associating with devotees, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam together, by performing some service to Lord Sri Krishna in the temple, or remotely over the computer, something, you know, get involved in. We have many projects here. If anyone wants some service, please connect with me. I can help you in that. And also in chanting the holy name of the Lord constantly. So the Lord has incarnated as Srimad, is present as Srimad Bhagavatam in this world. He is there in his deity form. He is there in the holy places. and he is fully present in the holy name. So Abhinnatvam Nama Namino, the name of Krishna is non-different than Krishna himself. So when we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna is right there on our tongue. And we want to constantly associate with Krishna, and Krishna is so merciful, he gradually reawakens our love towards him. So that way we can protect ourselves. So these are some of the things we can think about, and we have to constantly hear about the Lord so that we can come out of this cycle of birth, disease, old age and death, and we will not be bothered by Yamaraj ever again. So any points anyone would like to share? Any thoughts, any realization or your experience on the call or any inspiration you are feeling?
Yes, I like to share something that it's amazing that we don't have to live like animals. And there is a purpose in our life that we've got this human form, not just to do the normal everyday things, which is important, but have a spiritual journey also, I think.
Yes, very nice. Thank you for sharing. And do all our duties with a spiritual focus. When thinking about how it is connected to Krishna and how I can please Krishna by doing my duties properly. So yes, thank you for sharing. Wonderful point. Anyone else? Who else is there on the... Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and I was just saying it's difficult to come out of material bondage also. It's not that easy.
Yes, it is in fact impossible on our own. We need Krishna's mercy and the mercy of saintly people and their blessings. You are right, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that this material energy of mine is very difficult to overcome. But one who has taken shelter of me can cross it easily because we get help from the Lord. So the design of this material thing is very, very attractive for us. It is very difficult to give it up. But if we take shelter of Krishna and we pray to Krishna, Krishna will help us. That is his promise in the Bhagavad Gita. But thank you for sharing such wonderful points. Thank you. Yes, anyone else? Who else is there on the call? I know Sangeeta is there. And anyone else? All right. Thank you, everyone. Would Sangeeta like to share anything?
Hi, Krishna. No, I think you covered all the points, and you know, to hear from you, of course, and there's no element of doubt here at all, whatever you say. Sometimes, like what Malvika said, right, material bondage is so difficult to get out of. And it's so true. Even when we are practicing devotees, we get caught up, you know, in the material world. Ever so easily, it is so easy to get distracted and fall back again. You know, once you have, you know, company from outsiders, outside friends, then you know, you want this kind of relationship. The more we start coming to temple, the more we start devotees around and we attend the lectures that you suggested, and then, you know, listen to people. I think that helps enhance our devotional service, and we feel like connecting and then we develop a taste, you know, for the nectarian truth that, you know, we want to hear. So that, and in any case, what happens is, what I have realized is, when I'm not regular, you know, to the temple, maybe due to, you know, some duties of mine as a mother, that okay, I need to attend on other activities of my children, you know, outside of the temple. Then and if it becomes like a continuous thing, you know, a series, and it becomes hard for me to come to the temple, then I see, you know, how much different I become because of the lack of association I have with the proper people, you know, in my life in order to continue the spiritual journey. So then I realized that, you know, it is very important to keep in touch with our books. If not, if we're not able to make it to temple sometimes, you know, due to our own, you know, our limitations, then that is, you know, we should make sure that at least we listen to at home, and at least we're chanting so that we won't lose touch, you know, with you know, what really is required of us, that is, you know, worshipping Krishna, thinking of Krishna, and all that will come only by practice. So, we say practice makes a man perfect, right? So, with thought practice is very hard. You might think, okay, we still have a lot of years, a lot of time. You know, I don't think I'm going to die so soon. You know, we can do it, you know, when we feel the strong urge or the desire to do so. But actually, that is not true. Death can happen anytime. It can come to anybody anytime. Nobody's young or old. You know, in the eyes of death, everybody is equal. It's just, you know, our destiny. Whenever it's written in our fate, when to die and when to die, without any questions. So every minute, every moment counts. Of course, it's not easy to practice, you know, 24/7, which we could, but we're not like Rishi Muni, you know, where our only sole purpose is to devote all our life to Krishna. But we need to be more practical and see, you know, where we can cut down what activities, how important Krishna is in our life. And I have also seen when we offer food and when we eat, our consciousness changes tremendously. Then when she has taken apple, let's say, or fruit, you know, if that is not offered, we eat that, some kind of fish attack comes in. You don't feel good eating that apple versus when it is offered and if you eat, you feel so much better. And I guess that is part of purification also. It's Krishna who gives us the knowledge that, you know, why are you even submitting that kind of fish by eating food not offered to me? It's very clear, right? It's understood that everything that you offer is not to Krishna. Krishna will accept it. It's not just about realization, but we also should avoid certain things that is not conducive to Krishna consciousness. I'm sorry if I just elaborated, you know, but if I got deviated here. But a lot of points, you know, we can actually think in the hindsight that, okay, what are we doing right? What are we doing wrong? Where is it that we want to put a stop on? And what is better, you know, for our spiritual journey? What is best? And do things, you know, that are conducive to what is, you know, our ultimate goal. Hare Krishna.
Yes, thank you so much for sharing. So, yeah, we must offer whatever we eat, we first give it to Krishna as bhoga, and then we accept it as prasad, because then when we eat food that is offered to Krishna, it also helps us overcome the material energy. That is Krishna's mercy. So thank you very much for sharing. I just have two announcements. This Saturday we are organized Karva Chauth celebrations in the temple, and I will be sending out email to everyone, but it is already there on our Facebook page. So please spread the word to everyone. And the second announcement is we are resuming our Bhagavad Gita classes in Bellevue starting Monday. And we will also do Deep Dan because it is the month of Kartik. So we will offer lamps to Yashoda Damodar over there in Bellevue. And every evening in the temple, there is in the morning at around 5:45 and in the evening around 7:30, there is Deep Dan that is happening as a part of Kartik. It is very auspicious to offer ghee lamps to the form of the Lord in this month of Kartik. And for those of you on this call, you know, please take up some vow for your spiritual life in Kartik. Some of us have increased our chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So at least for those of you who are not chanting at all, please do at least one mala of the Maha Mantra. And for those of you who are chanting, please increase your rounds or please increase your spiritual activities. So thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, God Premanande, Hari Hari Bol.